Today's North Iowa News on your Friday, September 12th. I'm Chris Berg, filling in for Mark Pitts. The Iowa Barn Foundation's 25th annual All-State Barn Tour is this Saturday and Sunday, and it features a record 103 barns across the state, including several barns in northeastern Iowa. Iowa Barn's Wayne Frost says it's the largest barn tour in the country, with 16 barns on the tour for the first time.
As they've been described at different times, they are like our castles on the prairie. It used to be, you know, we had barns all over, and now they're dwindling. And once they're gone, they're gone.
Frost says many barn owners will be on hand to share their memories and regard for their structures from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. both days.
Anything that you've put money in, your effort to fix something up, they're proud of these barns. And so they love to tell the stories, and every barn has a story to tell. And they like sharing their history, the information about their barn, how they came about being there. So It is. They're very proud of them.
Since being founded in 1997, Frost says the Iowa Barn Foundation has helped save over 300 barns.
We've raised over $2 million to give out grants to barn owners. You know, if someone wants to restore their barn, we can cover up to 50% of the cost of that. There are some limitations. The biggest one is how much money we have. Usually we get three times the requests for dollars that we have for dollars to give out. But close to 300 barns that we have been involved with giving dollars out to restore, and over $2 million raised.
This year's tour includes 11 round barns, as well as corn cribs, a wood silo, a poultry house, and a couple of agriculture museums. Frost adds that if you've only seen barns from the road, you're missing out on the true beauty which lies within. Barns on the tour include the Brown Poultry House near Rockford, the Blazek Barn near Lawler, and the Borlaug Barn near Cresco, plus barns in Butler, Bremer, Cerro Gordo, Franklin, Fayette, and Winnesee counties. A link to the tour is available at iowabarnfoundation.org/barn-tours. As students get back into their school routines, motorists should also be prepared for the routine of crossing paths with school buses transporting kids to and from school. Chickasaw County Sheriff Ryan Shaver says even in rural areas, those school buses make frequent stops.
And when those yellow lights start flashing, that means everybody needs to slow down, that bus is preparing to stop. It doesn't mean speed up and see if you can beat it to get before the red lights come out. We do take those school bus stop arm violations very, very seriously. We work in conjunction with the State Patrol and Trooper Tom Williams in this area, and tracking those things down. A lot of these buses do have pretty good camera systems in there now to catch license plates, vehicle descriptions, and sometimes you can get a pretty good picture of who the driver is.
Shaver says violators of school bus stop signs and safety lights will be required to make a court appearance.
And it can be a pretty hefty fine. It's a pretty serious violation. I mean, taken very seriously is why the courts want to see those people in their courtrooms and talk to them directly versus just paying a fine like you do with a normal speeding ticket.
Shaver adds that students can also play their role in staying safe by keeping their distance while waiting for the bus.
Far enough away from the road, and I know they want to make sure the bus sees them so it stops, but that those kids do stay back a little bit ways until that bus does stop and acknowledge them to cross in front of the bus if they need to or to board.
Motorists should also be alert for school buses out after dark, transporting students to sporting events and other student activities at night as well. At one time in Mason City, there was roughly 4,500 ash trees located in city boulevards. Public Works Director Jim Collins says so far, the city's two full-time tree crews have worked to remove dead ash trees in the community and have removed nearly 3,700 of them. Collins says the ash tree removal project has included removing 60 of 142 ash trees in the city cemetery, 97 of 126 ash trees from the city golf course, and 195 of 470 ash trees in city parks. Collins adds that there were over 1,900 ash trees in the city alleyways, flood buyout properties, and walking trails, with a total of 156 trees removed. Collins also notes that the numbers do not include other variety of trees removed for disease, any storm damage cleanup, or any tree trimming that the crews are trying to keep up with. And this also does not reflect any new plantings for the city either. Collins says ash trees in boulevards and parks nearest to power lines are a priority right now. Roads may need to be temporarily closed during those removals for public safety. In Charles City, city crews tried to tackle the issue of some 900 dead or dying ash trees, but those efforts only resulted in taking down about 40 trees a year. The city would later contract with GBD GDB, that is, and Sons of Charles City to take down some 600 trees for about $330,000, and then paid about $100,000 to Wilson's Custom Tree of Cresco to take down another 300. In recent years, the city of New Hampton also hired Wilson's to remove some 200 ash trees on city property and right-of-way for about $230,000. Your North Iowa News mid-break is brought to you by Hauser Weishaar Funeral Home.